Church, y'all are blessed. I'm blessed to have a man like that, and he and I have a wonderful relationship, and we tell each other that all the time. But I want you to know you're blessed. You can go to a lot of Sunday school classes on Sunday morning, sleep your way through, just yawn. And you yawn your way through a Sunday school class like this morning's. You just need to go home and go to bed. All right, we'll bring you a bed, and we got a couple back there. Just go back there and go to sleep because you in desperate need of help. But the Lord's been here this morning. This guy out here, this Todd Bentley. Well, we went to Denny's Sunday a week ago with Brother Hackworth and family. And I was asked, I know of twice, did you go to the revival? I knew what they're talking about. This is over here on Park Drive here. This is my neck of the woods. Talking about it all the way over here. And I ignored it. I'm trying to get nice. I'm trying to be nicer. I really am. The Lord has dealt with me about it. I think I got gospel. Apostle Paul told Timothy there to be careful how you answer and how you treat men. And the Lord has been dealing with me for months and months and months about it. I have failed more than I've passed, trust me. But I am a conscious of this issue and aware of it and trying. So I just, you know, I got a lot to say about that guy in that revival. But I wasn't going to. No sense trying to pay for my bill. I didn't need a fight. And then he asked me, and I was nice again. And I went to say something, and she interrupted. And then she asked me again, and I broke down. But he saved me again. He interrupted, and I just thought to myself, what a shame. I heard that over 1 million people passed through that tent. Over 1 million. I don't feel bad about having 35, 40 this morning. I feel real good about it. Now, by all means, we'd be mocked and laughed at this morning. I have a very good feeling that there's more people saved in this house right now than all the million that's passed through that tent down there. I'd just soon be here. And they asked me next time, I'm going to tell them, say, yeah, we're going down and preach down there here in just a few weeks. We won't be inside the tent. We're going out in the parking lot, Brother Green. I've been praying about it. Wednesday and Thursday down to youth camp, I did a little research on the guy. He says that William Branham's mantle's been passed to him. I don't know if you know anything about William Branham. There is a possibility that he started out right. I've done some research and reading up on him, but really don't matter how you start when you end like he did. That guy was, he ended up oneness. I could just tell you all the things that he taught and preached, just unreal. But he said God told him he'd have a couple signs. His hand would jitter and get hot, and he'd have an angel. I don't know about all that. I just want the angel of the Lord is what I want. I want Christ. I want the Holy Ghost, Heaven's Trinity. I don't read anything in the Scripture to y'all about God sending an angel. The Bible said with His stripes. Well, y'all can take that however you want to, but that's what Isaiah said. That's what Jesus taught us there. By His stripes we are healed, not by an angel. And I know God can use angels. I'm not saying that. But you understand my point. This guy here is supposed to have got the mantle off of William Branham. And he's so spiritual, he named his angel. He said the Lord showed him her name is Emma. They ain't no female angels in the Bible, not a single one. And they're coming down here by the thousands and thousands. And I was thinking about that, praying about it. I ain't going to say altogether that God just thundered out loud, but I felt impressed. Maybe try to go down there. And preach. They're needing it desperate. They're needing the gospel. And then Brother Armstrong approached me maybe yesterday about the same thing. And so I want you all to pray for us. I don't know what we'll get into. I don't even know if they'll let us out there on the property where they're at or what we're going to try, though. I'm almost 100% sure that the gospel's probably needed out there around that as bad as, if not worse than out there in Nebor. Some of them at least know they're devils. These guys out here think they're saved. And Sister Janita, they're pulling on some of ours, aren't they? And I'm sick of it. And so I may do a little research on this guy. I may put something together. May even get it on our website. Just try to combat some of it. I don't know. But let's see. Let's open this morning to Isaiah 27, verse 8. Isn't it good to have the Armstrongs with us today? I laid down last night and Had wonderful fellowship with Brother Armstrong yesterday, and it was just, it was good. And I just think about how much I've enjoyed having the Hackworths with us. And ended up being in youth camp all week and didn't get to see them much, but maybe next go around and get to fellowship a little more. I'll just tell you, I was just getting used to having him around, Brother Greg. What a wonderful, wonderful man. His family so precious. Even Brother James, it's good to have him here this morning. He won't talk to me much, but that's all right. I love him anyway. Amen. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 8, if you have that, say amen. I just need the latter part on the right side of that colon. It reads this, He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. I'm not going to hold you long this morning, but I want you to run over to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Read one more passage there. I want you to keep praying. If you're praying, you're not interrupting me. And we're going to get right back to this altar very shortly. Very shortly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. If you have that, say amen. Apostle Paul speaking, he said, There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. That's beautiful. But God is faithful. God is a lot of things. And one of those things is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I believe that this scripture will be just as real and just as true tomorrow as it was yesterday and it is as it is today. I want to preach just a little while on He stayeth the rough wind. Let's pray. Father, we love You. And it's all about You. It's all about that heavenly Trinity. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, His sacrificial death. It's not about us. It's not about what we're doing or where we're going. It's about You and Your kingdom. Oh, that we would glorify and magnify Your name, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. And Father, I pray that You move mightily amongst us, that You encourage us this morning, that You strengthen us this morning, and that the Holy Ghost would be filled in a mighty way. Send revival upon God's miracle mission, Lord. Start right here with this pastor, Lord. Humble me, whatever it takes, God. I hate to even pray that, but we're desperate, Lord. We're needing You to speak, needing You to help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Shout amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I also wanted to tell you this morning, I love you very much. Feels like I've not been here in the longest time. I got out there swinging on that swing last night and enjoying that cool breeze. It was nice. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. And I could preach all day and all night and all week on those three words. God is faithful. Who will not allow you to suffer, to be tempted, to be tried, to be warred against, to be battled against. Above that, ye are able. Able to withstand. Able to fight back. Able to war against. God will let you fight this morning. But He won't let the enemy destroy you. But will. You heard Brother Green's interpretation of the word but. I like to say it this way. When you see that word but, it pretty much means forget everything I just said. You're going to go through all this bad stuff, but God will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape. I thought about that passage. I meditated on it for some days. And it dawned on me, He didn't say that there was a way to escape. He said He'd make one. You understand that, don't you? The Red Sea in front, Pharaoh's army behind, and mountains on both sides. There was no way. But God made a way. So when you look around and you don't see a way, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the love of God this morning. When you look around in your life and there isn't any way, don't get frustrated. God's setting you up for the greatest miracle you've ever seen. Amen. The book of Isaiah is probably one of my favorite books, definitely one of my favorite Old Testament books. And as you read it, it seems that the prophet Isaiah becomes a poet all of a sudden at times. Sometimes he's crude, rough. I say maybe not crude, but rough. He's abrasive at times, and he just lets it fly. He's the old holiness preacher, you know. But then there's other times, and he begins to write, and he begins to talk to you. And it's almost poetic, and it becomes rhythmic and glorious in a lot of ways. And you ever seen them people, you know, they barely can talk, just backward. And by no means would they ever be considered eloquent, but then the Holy Ghost moves on them. And they wax eloquent. And I mean, that broken and contrite spirited person, they begin to talk in ways just saying, is that the same person that I knew yesterday or I, you know, or who's trying to preach last week? Just rivers of wisdom flowing from them. That's the way the Holy Ghost is. Is that same anointing that made the prophet Jeremiah say, I'm just a child. Well, you know, no one's going to listen to me. I'm just a kid. I cannot speak. Same anointing that moved upon Isaiah to say, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips amongst the people of unclean lips. And what you would hear from the prophet's voice was the nation's sorrows. You'd hear their struggles coming forth out of the men of God because they felt what their people were feeling. It's called intercession. It's called identification. And the prophets felt that. And it was that beautiful music that makes Isaiah so powerful. It becomes immortal. The literature is as fresh today as it was when the pen wrote it up on the paper. We can relate to much of what's happening. Isaiah 27 and 8. I find three, there's more, but I find three profound truths. I'm going to try to make it simple this morning. First thing is our trials are timed. Our trials are timed. Secondly, our sufferings are measured. And the third thing that I saw in this passage, Isaiah 27 and 8, is our lives are compensated. And I'll explain what I'm talking to you about. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. The Bible has a lot to say about wind, but the Bible talks about the east wind at least 19 times. Job 27, 21, the Bible said, the east wind carrieth him away. And he departeth as a storm hurleth him out of his place. Jeremiah 18:17. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. The east wind over and over again. When the Bible speaks of the east wind, it speaks of a wicked and horrid wind. It was not just your normal cool breeze sitting out on the swing set out there, on the swing, enjoying yourself. In Palestine, the east wind blew off of a burning desert. And because it was destitute of moisture, what it did is it killed all the vegetation around it. Just sucked the moisture right out of the air. No humidity whatsoever when the east wind came about. It's interesting to note that in the Bible, nearly all destruction to the corn, to fruit, is always... It may say wind or mildew. It may say the locusts or what have you. But it was attributed to the east wind. East wind blew the locusts in. Or the east wind caused the mildew. Or what have you. Almost every time you're going to find the east wind somewhere and behind it. It was terrible. In Egypt it's particularly destructive because it comes through the burning deserts of Arabia. And it sweeps down upon them and it's wicked. Now, when this east wind would come, it would kill multitudes, kill hundreds, kill many, many different people all over. Everywhere it went, it would kill. The destructive nature of the east wind is mentioned by almost all travelers. I came across a little deal about a man named Bruce, and he wrote a book called his Travels in Egypt. And on their way to a place called Syene, their guide seeing one of these east winds coming, He cried out with a loud voice to the company. He said, fall upon your faces, for here is the east wind. Mr. Bruce said, I saw from the southeast a haze come in color like the purple part of a rainbow, but not so compressed or thick. He said it did not occupy 20 yards in breadth and was about 12 feet high from the ground. It was kind of blush, it was kind of a blush upon the air. And it moved very rapidly, for I scarce could turn to fall down upon the ground with my head northward when I felt the heat of its current plainly upon my face. We all lay flat upon the ground as if dead till our guide told us it was blown over. The meteor of purple haze which I saw was indeed past, but the light air which still blew was of a heat to threaten suffocation. Bruce said, for my part, I found distinctly in my breast that I had imbibed a part of it, nor was I free from an asthmatic sensation till I had been some months in Italy at the bath of Peretta near 2 years afterwards. That's something. On another occasion, the whole company were made ill by one of these plague-like blasts so that they barely had the strength to load their camels. The action of this destructive wind, Mr. Bruce was writing here, he said the action of this destructive wind is referred to by the prophet Hosea. Now listen to this passage in Hosea 13:15. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. I'd like to ask you a question this morning, and you don't have to answer me. Have you ever had your gardens blasted by an east wind? Have you ever had the breath knocked out of you by an east wind? No, many storms pass over, and life goes back to normal. I want to say, I have seen some east winds that affected me for weeks, months, even years. There are some here this morning that the blast of the east wind, the scorching breath of an east wind, has left you asthmatic and suffocated, and you've prayed, and you've sought God, and you expected a miracle, and you wanted to go to bed a blunder and wake up a wonder, but it didn't happen. And you found that you're still finding struggles in your life, and issues in your life, and heard a very wise young lady say the other day, she prayed through, and God helped her, and she said, I found out that it wasn't as easy as I expected it to be. I thought, thank you, Jesus, for that. I'm glad to hear that, because when you go out there in the east wind and you're rocked by sin or whatever the east wind is in your life, you don't always just get over it overnight. Sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes you've got to go back to the altar more than one time. Sometimes you've got to go back and go back and go back and say, God, the east wind has rocked my world. And for some of you, it's been life. For some of you, it's been sickness. For some of you, it's been a church. Some of you, it's been family. But you've been rocked by the east wind. And you expected to bounce up. But you find yourself suffocated and asthmatic because of the effects of what happened years ago, or months ago, or weeks ago, or days ago. The east wind, it's something. I'll tell you what happens when you get this asthmatic feeling from a storm past. It makes weathering lesser storms harder than normal. And sometimes I've seen people fall over the stupidest stuff. And folks say, man, I can't believe they fell over that. They didn't fall over that. They fell over that way back there. That was just a straw that broke the camel's back. You see, it's very important that you get victory this morning. I'm not justifying the effects of the east wind. And the east wind can be a lot of things, but the bottom line is it doesn't matter what it was. It doesn't matter if you were wounded by a friend. It doesn't matter if you were lied to or lied on. It doesn't matter if you had all your props cut out from under you. It doesn't matter what family member cut you down or lied on you or stabbed you in the back. It doesn't matter what sin you committed. The facts of it are, this morning, you have got to go to the healer. You have got to say, God, I'm suffering within my heart, and I need to recover from the effects of the east wind, because you're going to come across another storm. There's going to be another wind blow upon your heart, and it doesn't even have to be near as severe as the east wind was. And you say, well, I've handled that in the past, but the effects of an east wind yonder will kill you out today when a lesser storm comes. You need healed this morning. I want you to know this morning that your trials are timed. It's very important that you know the east wind has its day. It's going to come. As sure as we're going to have church tonight at 6:30. Even more sure than that, the east wind is going to come. There's a time to dance. There's a time to mourn. There is a time to laugh. There's a time to cry. There's a time for peace. There's a time for war. There's a time for good health. There's a time for sickness. There's a time to be rich. There's a time to be poor. There is a time and season for everything. There's a time to be born. There is a time to die. I don't care who you are, you will experience the changes of seasons. It's going to come just like clockwork. Now, it's not going to be on your timetable, but I will tell you that our trials are timed. In some ways, you say, well, that's bad. But in other ways, it lets me know the sovereign God of the universe is also in perfect control of what the enemy brings upon us and what God sends our way. And if they're timed in that respect, I'm going to tell you something else is timed, and that is the ending of that storm. And so we need to understand that regardless of what we're going through, or regardless of what the enemy comes your way with, you got to hold on tight and say, I know just as sure as the east wind is blowing, God is going to stay in one day, and I've got to hold on to the King of Kings this morning. It's a time for the sun to shine. It's a time for birds to sing. It's a time for all the trees clap their hands, as the Bible said. And there is a time for the east wind to blow in your life. There's a time for the east wind to come. To everything under heaven, even the blighting scourge of the east wind, there is a time and a season. I know you don't want to hear that. I'd rather preach Cadillacs and $100 bills. But then I'd have to get out of the Word of God and preach something else. The facts of it are, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. Amen. Well, I wish y'all felt as good as I feel this morning. And I'm not going to stop feeling good just because some of you don't look like you're feeling good. I'm going to continue being happy this morning. I am. Now, I believe in its larger aspects, we're all agreed on this point. Storms come, storms go. I believe we're all agreed on that. There are whole classes of trials that have their season as surely as seed time and harvest have. A man of 40 laughs at the sorrows of a 12-year-old. I can guarantee you the 12-year-old is not laughing because they are serious to him. Can you shout amen to that? Their sorrows are intensely real. And in the same way, I think that God, if He wasn't the God that He is, the wonderful, loving, and compassionate God that He is, I think that He would laugh at the worries of a 40-year-old man. He would probably chuckle, but the Bible tells us that God doesn't upbraid His children. He doesn't mock His children. And because He's infinitely wise, and because He's infinitely powerful, He doesn't look down upon you and mock you in your trials when you're going through the thick of it and you're spinning round so fast on the potter's wheel. You don't know if you're coming or going. God doesn't chuckle at you. The only man that I find God laughs at is that wicked man, that evil man. I'll laugh, hallelujah, and mock at that man. But God doesn't laugh at you. He doesn't take joy in your pain and suffering. But we have a high priest this morning who is touched by the feeling of our infirmity. When you're hurting, He hurts. In whatever respect that's true, I don't understand all of it, but I know that He feels and He cares and He loves you, and you need never forget that that God is your God this morning. Amen. There is a time and season, and they're going to come. And when they come, God does not sit upon the heavens laughing in your face. When you shake and tremble, He watches you with a steady eye. Each age has its own trials, and God's time is perfect. He times them perfectly. He plans it perfectly.
knows what we're going to go through tomorrow. He's planned it. Anything He's planned, He plans perfectly. Anything that He ordains perfectly. Anything that He sets up perfectly. I mean, if He could create, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. That wasn't just an idea the Trinity came up with on the spur of the moment. That was something contemplated. That was something reasoned out. And if I can look at the Word of God and see that Christ was a Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, I can also say that my God is in control of what's going on around here, around this church. And we need not be discouraged. God has not left us. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." And so, yes, they're timed, but God is in control of the clock around here. Somebody shout amen. You've got to understand that God times these things perfect. Why stay 4 days? He stinketh by now. Jesus wasn't in no hurry. He wasn't in a bit of hurry. He had a perfect timetable to come to Lazarus. You and I this morning, we have memories so short, we've almost forgotten how the east wind scorched our grounds yesterday. And for some, it wasn't the east wind. Some, it wasn't the east wind. You remember in the past, it was the sunshine. But today, the sun's not shining. For some people, we forget what happened to us. And we just override it. We harbor things in our heart instead of dealing with those things. We just let them sit there. And you know what happens eventually? It's just like those, you graft something unnatural into something natural. Eventually, they're going to become one and the same. And you're not going to be able to distinguish them. And that's what happens when we allow bitterness and rebellion and anger and lust and jealousy to stay in our hearts. It eventually becomes part of us, and we act upon them, and they come out in our speech and in our actions and deeds. And we think it's normal, but it's not normal. We've got to have the great physician to go inside our hearts and extract these things so we can see a real move of God again in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God help us today. God help us today. You've got to be careful not to grudge the journey, not even 1 mile of it. This is good. This is real good. What's going on in your life right now, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing for you. It may not feel that way. It may not feel like it's a good thing. But when you're continuously being troubled by the past and you're not dealing with it, but it just is there, a haunting memory. You know what happens when you see the east wind come? You can't even face it with a clean mind, with a clear mind, because you've got so much of the past dwelling on your heart already. You can only take so much, saints of God. You've got to be careful. This morning will be a good day for you to get the slate wiped clean. You must not render judgment on the entire volume by one page. It's silly. You don't judge the entire journey by 1 mile. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, I'm one of the world's worst. I pick up a book, I read the first chapter, and if it don't appeal to me, I'm going to shut the lid. I don't have time to spend 5 hours reading something that's not going to help me. The saints of God, I have picked up books like In His Steps and started reading, and I didn't like it and threw it to the side, and then went back a year later and picked it up and couldn't set it down, read it through in one sitting. That's the way it is. Sometimes we pick up a book and we judge the whole thing by one page. And what we do in this life is we judge an entire life by one page of our life. And the facts of it are the east wind is going to come your way. But if I were you, I wouldn't judge my entire existence, my entire life on the east wind. Because as sure as the east wind comes, the east wind is going to go. I just personally believe that when the sun shines, we ought to enjoy it a little better. We ought to be a little bit more appreciative when we got money in our pocket, and when there's a little bit there to pay our bills, and when we are in good health, we ought to say, "Thank you, God, that you've helped me, and let the sun shine for a little while." When we understand that storms are going to come, but never stay, we can have hope knowing that it will one day pass. That helps you. There can be no question that that knowledge was one of the elements of the peace of Jesus Christ. I want to explain to you. Nothing amazes me in the life of Christ more than the way He handled
temptation, persecution, and trials. Magnificent. Perfect. Masterfully. We can accuse him perhaps of being a fatalist. A fatalist is one of those people that says, well, whatever happens is going to happen. That's not really a good way of looking at life. I don't think that he handled the situations like he did because he didn't have any choice. I believe he had a choice. I believe he could have spit in their face if he'd wanted to. He probably could have backhanded a few of them. I mean, he could have done whatever. Who's going to stop him? But he handled them because of what he was. He handled them because of who he was. Somebody shout amen. I mean, ain't nobody going to make him do anything. But he handled himself marvelously inside of these problems, inside of these issues. In times of trial, he was able to magnificently handle it. And I believe one of the reasons was Jesus knew that every trial is timed. It may feel like it's never going to end, but that's just the nature of the beast. That's just the nature of the thing. When you're inside that storm, you can't see coming or going. You can't see up or down. There's no sun shining. There's nothing but rain and wind and pain and hurt. And you begin to cry out in frustration, God, when's this ever going to end? And God don't answer, and there's nothing as silent as the silence of God. But even in God's silence, He is answering your prayer, because His eyes are over the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. And He may not answer you, but He hears you. And I can guarantee you that He's going to come to you. It may not come when you want Him, but it'll be right on time. My God, I wish you'd help me this morning. There's no question about it. Jesus realized his trials were timed. He said, ever have your heads numbered? Ever think about that? What a statement. Why would you make a statement like that? Well, he's saying a lot to us, but he's telling us things have their limits. Things are confined. Every hair of your head is numbered. He said, I know where the sparrow falls. And then what else he says? He said, a sparrow can't fall until my heavenly Father tells it to fall. And so we need to understand those things. The enemy can't do a thing to you unless it slips through the fingers of God first, and nothing slips through His fingers. He carefully examines it. He carefully looks upon you and me. And He says, now, can they handle this? Can they not handle this? And if we can handle it, if we're able to bear it, and He feels like it's going to bring us closer to Him, you better get ready, because the east wind's coming. You better get ready. He's going to let it happen. But what you and I have got to do is, when the east wind comes, instead of throwing in the white towel and surrendering, we've got to stand up and be men and women of God. And say, Lord, I may not understand why you're doing this. I don't understand why you're bringing this my way. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to study the storm. I'm going to study the effects of a storm. I'm going to learn how to be better prepared next time. And I may get rocked again, but I'll have myself ready. And I'm going to be closer to God. You see, in the time of storms, a good time to learn the meaning of the name of the Lord is a strong tide. And the righteous runneth into it. And oh, safe. You've got to learn all you can when the east wind blows. Our trials are timed. And that's the poet's image of God's tender mercy as we read this passage. It's that exact text, Isaiah 27 and 8, that the gospel sets into beautiful music. Now, I know you remember what the Bible said. I'm going to close on this point. I'm not even going to finish this message out. I can tell you're tired. Bible said in Matthew 12:20, a bruised reed shall it not break, and smoking flax shall it not quench. A bruised reed shall it not break, smoking flax shall he not quench. I'm going to tell you that our trials are measured. Them hurricanes, brothers and sisters, they hit that ocean. Huh. Can you imagine the turmoil and chaos? At any place, if you could go down 25 feet, These little fish down there swimming around. Ships, big ships being tossed, turned. People being drowned. Whole East Coast, West Coast getting ready to be annihilated. 25 feet down. Little fish swim around. Unaware of what's going on up there. I want to talk to you about a real Christian walk this morning. I want to talk to you about something that transcends external holiness. I want to talk to you about something that's a little deeper than your hair, a little longer than our long sleeves, a little higher than anything that we can imagine in our hearts and minds. And those things are of vital importance. You know I believe that. I shouldn't even have to qualify that statement. But I'm telling you, saints of God, there is a place in God that you can get to that when, if I can say this as reverently as I can, when all hell breaks loose, and I mean that in the most reverential sense, that if you can get this just like you need to get it, I mean it may ripple the shallow, it may shallowly ripple the external, and it may cause just a little bit of confusion, but deep down in our hearts, deep down in our souls, there is a peace of God. There is a peace that transcends any imaginable peace of this world. That's why Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not the peace of this world." That's the kind of peace that you need when your house burns down. That's the kind of peace you need when your babies walk out. That's the kind of peace that you need when you get cut down and they say, "How did he do it?" Because 25 feet down, I've got to walk with God that the hurricane cannot disturb. I've got to walk with God. I've got to walk with God that the enemy cannot steal away from me. Stand across the house. A bruised reed shall he not break. Our trials are measured. What's that say? I feel the power of God. What's that mean to me? That means God says, "Wind, you can blow on that reed, but not too hard. If you blow too hard, you'll break her. If you blow too hard, you'll snap her." But God says, "You can only blow just so hard, because I cannot allow you to break her down completely." Are you with me this morning? God is in control of what's going on in your life. Amen. Breathe upon the bruised reed, but don't breathe too hard. Stand dangerous snapping. Never wave his tassels again in the sun. You see, God is very merciful. God is very piteous this morning. He's compassionate. He cries halt to the rough wind for the reed's sake. Hallelujah. Oh God, would you help us? Would you help us? For some of you this morning, the fierce, boisterous east wind has come upon you. And then you say, "Well, I feel a little bit of a reprieve right now." Oh, don't you fool me. I pray for you probably as much as some of you pray for yourself. And I know I pray for you more than some of you pray for yourself. And God has ministered to my heart. I've been sitting on this for 2 weeks. There's some of you suffering right now deep inside. And you smile and act like everything's all right. And everything's fine. And I'm proud of you. You're tough. But God, show me some of you are hurting down inside. And the east wind is destroying. And has rocked you. And has hurt you. I want you to hear me. And I want you to hear me well. God knows where you're at. And He knows what you can take. And you've got to get up. You've got to quit wallowing around in it. The enemy wants to destroy you. And the east wind has blown you around. God help us. Scorched by the constant heat of the east wind. You ever feel like you're going to die spiritually? You ever felt that way? I know it's going to be hard for you to believe, but there's been times, oftentimes, as a pastor, I felt I was dying inside. I was trying to get up, come pray. Pray in the mornings, pray at night, read the Word. And I felt, "Oh God, help me." I wasn't dying. It just felt that way. It was the east wind suffocating me. And I always blamed it on the enemy, you know. I always gave him too much credit, too much glory. And sometimes it is the enemy. Sometimes God's not a, he ain't got a thing to do with. He only allowed it.
And we can ask Him when we get at heaven, all right, why He allowed some of these things. But really, right now, I don't think it's going to help us any if we sit and spend the rest of our life saying, why, God, why, God, why? When we realize that God is in control and He's infinitely wise and He loves us this morning. Well, I think what's most important for you to know is the wind is blowing, but you're not going to snap. God's not going to let you snap. When the wind gets too hard, He's going to throw up His hand, because the Bible said in the day of the east wind, He stayeth the rough wind. He knows what you can handle, and your trials are measured. Oh, the east wind is about to get you, and the rough wind is going to come and finish you. God says, hold it right there. They can't handle it anymore. And God delivers once again. Would you shout amen? My God. Isaiah said the east wind. The east wind has come. This fiery blast had breathed upon them. The east wind was suffocating the people. But Isaiah's noticed something very profound. He said God was staying the rough wind in the day of the east wind. It could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse. You understand me? It could have been infinitely worse. But when God saw the bruised reed about to break, and He saw the rough wind snarling and laughing and mocking you, and the east wind said, I've got her. I need just a little bit of help. When the east wind said, I've got her. I need a little help, rough wind. God said, no, you're not. You'll not do another thing to her. You'll not touch her again. I've got my hand on her. Hey, the devil may think he's hurting you, but God's going to step in. There is no temptation taking you for such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able. Throw your hands up tonight. Let's give God some glory. Help me, Holy Ghost. Can you stand for 8 minutes? Let me finish this out. The Bible's full of instances of what I'm talking about. It's the case with the Apostle Peter. It was the day of the east wind when Peter fell. It was a blighting, desolating hour. All that was fairest and best in Peter's past, all that was holiest and highest in his heart, seemed to be shriveled away, wilted in that great denial. Walking on the water, all that was gone. Now he's cursing. The east wind had done its job. Had the rough wind came at that moment, Jacqueline, there'd be no 1st, 2nd Peter. There'd be no Apostle Peter. He'd be a figment of the past. He'd be an issue of the past. But when the rough wind would have came, Jesus pierced his heart. Nothing but a stare. And he said, rough wind, stay. And Peter was able to move enough to get into a field and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me for turning my back on you. Forgive me for denying you and cursing you. Did you ever think about Thomas, doubting Thomas? I mean, the east wind came and he said, I don't believe it unless I see it. And I can relate to Thomas. What did Jesus do, saints of God? What did Jesus do to this doubting man of God, this doubting Thomas? I mean, the east wind's come. I'm not going to believe. How did Christ treat Thomas? How did he do? What did he upbraid him? Did he breathe on him with a blast of angry judgment? No. He said, come here, Thomas. Touch me and see. Come here, Thomas. Run your hands into my side. Feel my hands. Is that the way you found Christ to be for you? When you knew for sure who was going to cast you into hell? Instead, he said, come here. Run your hands right here. Let me lay my hands on you. And he stayed the rough wind in the day of the east. Remember the chorus, would you come to the piano? Amen. Some of you wouldn't even be here right now. I can guarantee you I wouldn't be here. I've had so many east winds blow, east winds of sin, ignorant things that I fell into as a young man, stupid stuff. And I always wondered, God, how come that didn't destroy me? It destroyed others. But God said, I stayed the rough wind, son. You got back up. You lifted. How many times has it been that way for you when you knew you were going down? And one more word, one more rumor, and it would have been over. But instead, God, He said revival. He said you can. My God. Going down for the last time. And instead of God rebuking, God said, run your fingers into my side. Holy, holy, holy. My last point is our lives will be compensated. You say, is it worth it? Is going through the east wind worth it? Well, just the very fact that you're going through the east wind, God has stayed the rough wind. I think that's plenty of compensation right there, don't you? My God, I'm trying. I'm pouring my heart out to you this morning. Trying to tell you, God is in control. Father, we come to you right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for these precious saints. I love them. I've given myself and my family to them. I want to see revival break out in this church. But God, there's some here you have impressed upon my heart in a powerful way. Even though the east wind was years ago, even though the east wind was months ago, this morning they're still feeling the asthmatic, suffocating feelings of what was. God, what I'm praying for is a healing this morning. I'd be happy if you would heal us of all of our diseases and sicknesses. You said that you're the Lord that healeth. I believe that. And I believe that you have made provisions not only for the physical man, but you have made provisions for the emotional man and the spiritual man that's inside of us. When we've been ripped to shreds by the east wind, I know you stayed the rough wind. But God, we need some healing today in hearts and lives. Oh, we've got to be ready for the fight. The man of God talked so awesome this morning. Oh, God, I want to be ready for the fight. I want to take nothing but what you give me and your power and glory behind me. God, these saints, whoever you're dealing with this morning, I want them to know that you love them. Would you let your love fall, your grace fall like rain? Saturate this place, God. We'll be very, very careful to give you the glory. Somebody shout amen. Don't you want that kind of walk with God? That no matter what's going on in your life, underneath the surface, I'm still smiling. Like the old palm tree. You can bend me. I'm going to stay rooted right here. When the wind quits blowing, devil, I'm bouncing back up. I'm popping back up. I don't know why God lets the wind blow on us like He does sometimes. There's times that I do. In the aftermath, we look back and we say, you know, I see now. But if you think this is bad, you ought to see what God's holding back. Let's pray. Let's gather around these altars. Let's talk to the Lord.
wanna see a ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand. Angry winds around them blow. All aboard were filled with pride as the mighty billows roll. Then they called upon the man is this they all did say that the winds and sea obey. He's the one who dealt with me. Oh, he's the master of my sea. And when he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey. With the wings obey his will. when he says to them, be still. What man is this they hold to say? That's the wisdom he obeys. He's the one who tells me things, for he's the master of my sheep. And though the storms of life may rage, oh, and the billows round you roll, he can calm like troubled sea, just like he did in days of old. As upon my sea sails, oh, trust in him who never fails. And I'm so glad he sails with me, for he's the master of my sea. And when he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this they hold and say? That the winds and seas obey. He's the one who sails with me. For he's the master of my sea. Oh, when he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. Oh, when he says to them, be still. What man is this they hold to say? That's the wind that sees obey. Oh, and the billows round you roll. Well, he can calm my troubled sea, just like he did in days of old. As upon my sea sails, friend, trust in him, he'll never fail. And I'm so glad he sails with me, for he's the master of my sea. And when he reaches out his hand, oh, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. Oh, when he says to them, be still. What man is this they hold to say? That the winds and sea obey. One is dealt with me, for he's the master of my sea. And when he reaches out his hand, oh, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. Oh, when he says to them, be still. What man is this they hold to say? Obey. He's the one who sails with me, for he's the master of my sea.
Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to the book of James.